Hello, hello. Welcome to the Index Podcast, where the three of us discuss on-chain data, chart crimes, and the crypto topics of the week. Today, we are joined by a very special guest. So that makes the panel Denning, on-chain Corrugate Flashbots, Hill Dobby, resident data house at Dragonfly, Jacek, dutiful leader at Degen, and me, Boxer, community powerhouse at Dune. Especially relevant for this episode of the podcast. Before we start, nothing we say here should be relied upon as legal, financial, investment, tax, or even life advice. The views expressed in the podcast are not representative of our employees' views. We are acting independently of our respective professional roles. And I think to especially call this out, I think all of us in this podcast hold some Degen tokens. So everything we say here should not be relied upon as financial advice. If you buy Degen, that is your own, on your own risk. Don't believe anything we say. All right. So with that out of the way, first of all, very, very happy to have you here, Jacek. Welcome.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Yeah, I think we all kind of know each other a little bit, so this is cool.
Yeah, we've all kind of been circling around in the same circle since you have some Dune history, I guess. But to get this started before we kind of dive into that angle, I thought it would be interesting for all of us to kind of define what they think Degen is, especially from, I mean, Jacek, you obviously have your own thing, but I think Degen, like, I think what's very interesting about this is that you can't really put it into any category. Denning before has argued on this podcast it's a meme coin. I think there's more to it. So maybe Dobby, if you want to start in your words, what do you think is Degen?
I think Degen has become the go-to tipping token on decentralized social Farcaster and other social networks or like social apps like Dracula and others that have popped up since. It's also probably heavily a meme coin, but that's, you know, you can argue that. And now it's also the native currency of Degen, the chain, as of recently.
Okay, that's a lot of properties already. Denning, anything like in your words, what do you think Degen is?
Yeah, I think it can even get rid of the word tipping, because in the future it can, you know, incentivize other engagement. So my definition would be like it's a social token that's, you know, native to the, you know, blockchain layer, can be applied to any decentralized social network. Like today you see it started with Farcaster, but also now it's in Dracula, can be many, many more. With the meme coin energy, I would say. Yeah.
I would say it seems to me to be a community token of a large part of the Web3, like the traditional kind of DeFi builder scene, like the 2021 builder scene, who were early on Farcaster, and then they kind of adopted this token as their community token. And it's kind of a beta play on Farcaster, because Farcaster itself doesn't have a token. They're obviously going to stay in private equity for quite a while. I think the founder, Dan, is quite kind of vocal about we're not going to have our own token. So Degen seems to be kind of a beta play on the success of Farcaster, but now it's kind of growing beyond Farcaster. So kind of reducing it to that is also not fair. So I think my best effort is like it's a community token, and what exactly the community is that's backing that is like it's powerful people in crypto. I think that's the best word I can kind of come up with. And now Jacek, I think this has kind of grown beyond your own like definition as well. So, but in your words, what would you say Degen is today?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's grown like it's grown into its own like creature, really. So it's kind of crazy to see it grow this way. Definitely when it started out, I think it was, you know, obviously a meme token, and I think that property still exists. Like we're still, you know, I think there's a lot of layers to Degen, and we're trying to build out the deeper layers a little bit more. But the surface kind of layer, the one that everyone sees, like the first layer of the onion, I would say is definitely like the meme kind of token. And I think that has like a lot of value, especially sort of like this attention economy and Just as like a fun thing in general to kind of build a community around something fun. I think it's just a really good way to do it, like a way to leverage a community. It's kind of like with sports teams, when you see they have mascots and things like that. Well, not all sports teams. Like, I don't think soccer teams do, or, you know, football in Europe. But you know, like in the U.S. for sure, with like basketball and like other kind of things, you definitely have these kind of like mascot characters. And when the team is down and like the season isn't going well, people kind of rally around this kind of like mascot. It kind of gives them like this like positive energy. And kind of, so I kind of think of, you know, we need this. It's kind of like a cool thing to have. People kind of rally around like the meme when things aren't going well. And it kind of keeps your community kind of like, all right, well, you know, we still have this at least. And but then we're also building like the lower layers, kind of making the onion a little bit deeper and trying to build out things like the tipping potentially, which I kind of see more as like, you know, YouTube kind of rewards their content creators. You know, Farcaster isn't necessarily doing that. Maybe they will at some point, but maybe we can kind of give some of the value of Farcaster back to users. And then there's of course like the DGen chain, which is like another layer. It just kind of launched 2 weeks ago, and so kind of people can now build DApps on this chain and build their own like smaller communities or even big communities. Like it's kind of been crazy to see it grow. So
I think you launched this in January, and we don't need to go into the full history, but maybe if you could give us like the 30-second rundown of how all of this went down, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely not the bear market. I think like it was just this sort of tipping point. I was in the DGen channel. I joined Farcaster in July. I'd been in the sort of DGen channel for like a little bit. And the DGen channel wasn't one of the main channels on Farcaster. Like everybody else was kind of hanging out in the dev channel. Channels weren't really big initially anyway. So I think a lot of Farcaster communities just really like the power builders, the power kind of people in crypto. Obviously not all of them, but like there was just a good amount of people that were kind of like powerhouses or working for like Rainbow or, you know, like all these different companies and Coinbase and so forth. So it was a cool community, kind of a cool place to meet. And like you could definitely interface with people that would be a lot harder to interface with on Twitter. At least that's what the thing that I liked about it. So like reaching out to JC Pollock or somebody on Twitter, maybe it's a little bit more difficult. I don't know. But certainly for some of these other people on Farcaster, it was a lot easier. And so basically in December, something happened. People started creating these tokens, and Points was the first one. Then there was like WowWow, there was Farts, there was like so many tokens. But you could see that there was like this demand for these tokens built up. And so I saw that and I was like, well, if there's demand for it, then I'll just build it. And see what happens. And so my idea was to kind of do like a fairly distributed token launch. So I did my best to kind of do that. It was based off the mentions and likes and that people had in the DGen channel mostly. And that seemed to work pretty well. Obviously, I used Dune to kind of leverage that data. And I don't know. Like in terms of like the mascot, I just think it's a cool, like the tipping hat. That wasn't a part of DGen initially. The community kind of created that, and that was interesting because a lot of the innovation, a lot of like the cool ideas came from the community. Some of them came from me, but a lot of them came from everybody else. So it's a little bit decentralized in that way. And then obviously things kind of took off. Then we did tipping, and you know, now the L3 and all that kind of stuff. But it all originated in that DGen channel.
Okay, I see. So you were hanging out on Farcaster, and one day tokens kind of took off, and then you were just like, okay, let's just do something. I mean, were you still working, or like, do you hold down another job at that time, or were you freelancing?
Oh, yeah. So I kind of skipped that a little bit. So obviously we all kind of met, or sadly saw each other at DuneCon. So that was, I think, November 5th. And I quit my job, I think, end of October. And so, yeah, so I was just kind of hanging around at the conference. It was actually cool because everybody was saying like, hey, like, congratulations, you know, and everybody like in my Web2 world of people, they were kind of like, oh, man, like, what are you going to do now? You know, like, that sucks. And like, I went to DuneCon, everyone's like, oh, man, congrats, dude. Like, that's the best decision you could have ever made and things like that. I was like, whoa, really? And so then I ended up talking, obviously, a little bit also to Mats. And I think, so he's CTO of Dune, for if people don't know, that may be potentially listening, but I think everybody here kind of knows Dune and things. So anyway, I talked to him and he kind of told me his story. I kind of felt like, okay, well, this, I'm going to go and try it. So I was going to do it anyway. And so I was going to live off my savings for like at least a couple months. I told my fiance like 4 months, but in my mind, I was thinking like, maybe I can do like 8 months or something. So I was going to do that a little bit in secret. Yeah, she probably wouldn't like that. But anyway, I ended up seeing that. Yeah. So I was going to build channels.fun, which was going to be kind of like friend tech mixed with like subreddits a little bit. So like a bonding curve and things like that. And so I had like an email list, people were signing up. It was okay. I was kind of going to like Orange DAO. I was going to go to Y Combinator. I was going to like all these VCs, not getting like a lot of traction. And then, but it was only been 2 weeks because I didn't do anything in November really. So December was the month I started building. And though, so when I saw people creating tokens and like points launched, which was a token, and it immediately got like 500,000 in minting, basically kind of like treasury, because those tokens, you have to mint them. I was like, wow, well, okay, so there's a lot of demand here, so why don't I just try and do something with this? And there's, you know, there's not a lot of downside except for kind of maybe my time. And so, yeah, and I posted a cast. I said, hey, I'm going to fairly distribute this token, something, and people gave me a lot of likes, and so I was like, wow, okay, so I'm getting a lot more likes here than I am on my other project, so I think it makes sense to work on this, and maybe I can, and then so then the idea was that maybe I can turn it into something else, and so I just worked day and night for like 2 weeks because I never written a smart contract before, so I kind of took all, you know, I started learning about this, I'd look at Blur, I like the points meta. So I kind of took the points idea a little bit from them, the fonts and stuff, the design a little bit. And I also looked at the tokenomics for Uniswap. I took some of the smart contract code from Uniswap because they're open source. So that was very nice. And that's kind of how I ended up kind of putting all these pieces together and just kind of things clicked. And so that's also a little bit of luck for sure.
So before this, you were working at Hedgehog, and I just looked at your Dune profile earlier, and there was always like you have a few friend tech dashboards, and so SocialFi was kind of something that had interested you before. So maybe if you could drop a few words on why SocialFi is so interesting to you.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit of a degen. You know, I used to hang out like in Wall Street Bets and all these kind of channels, so or like Reddits and things, subreddits and things. But when I saw FriendTech launch, I definitely thought it was very interesting. Like, I was like, wow, this is a very cool idea. And I was more interested in like how it generated so much hype so quickly. I think just in general, it feels like for the social space, like going from like 20 years ago when you had internet forums to today, it kind of feels like in that tech-based community, you don't have too much innovation. At least, I don't know. I don't think there's so much in there. I think Reddit was the big innovator. So they really changed the sort of this kind of idea. But even like Hacker News or like the typical forums and things like that, they still exist today. But I just don't think that so much has changed within that space. There's like tech space. You have like Twitter. So that was something that was a little bit different. So I think when like I saw something a little bit new in this space, especially giving money to content creators, I started like connecting things like, okay, well, like YouTube, they have content creators, and what is YouTube without the content creators? So it makes sense that they pay them. And then I kind of thought of like, okay, what about people who are on forums? Does that really make sense? Like, can these people just move to another forum? Maybe they, you know, So I was kind of thinking, like, is it really that difficult to make like Hacker News or Reddit or something like that? And it seems like technically maybe it's not like the most like advanced kind of platform, or even like Twitter or something. But I think obviously bootstrapping, getting that community and like people to really join, and then you really rely on those people to create the content. And then once you have that content, hopefully, I think you should probably reward them as a platform. So rather than just monetizing it 100% for yourself and just not sharing any of that with anybody, I think it does make sense. And we're kind of seeing like this shift towards like, okay, maybe we can monetize things. And I think Frentech showed, okay, you can monetize yourself, your DMs or something. And I don't know. I think it's an interesting space. And it's something that hasn't really been innovated on too much, I don't think, in the recent past. So I think maybe that's why I gravitate to it. And I also just feel the excitement. So I used to be a DJ, and so I used to do electronic music. And I even played like a show with Paul Van Dyk. I was way earlier in the night and stuff, but I was on the billboard or whatever. So I was happy about that. And anyway, I remember I would come to Poland during the summers, and I would hear all like the electro, the trance, like all the stuff that was happening. And I would go to the US, and it was mostly hip hop and like a lot of rock and stuff on the radio. And so I remember kind of feeling like this spark of like what if we just took this music and brought it here? Like, people are having so much fun over there at the clubs, you know. And I was young, so I was like, well, this is going to be like amazing over here. And so I got really into electronic music. I got into the whole scene, met a lot of like really great people. And I kind of felt this spark over here that, well, there's something happening. I don't know what it is, but it seems interesting.
Okay. I think we all share that excitement about crypto data, or at least that's how we all kind of ended up here. I can see how that's very driving. So Brave, the browser, they started out as like, we're going to reward content via the browser. We are like a native, it's not an add-on, but rather it's inbuilt into the browser. But they've kind of, I don't think it ever gained traction. What do you think happened there? Because the Brave browser actually has quite significant adoption.
I used it up until like a few weeks ago, and I got tired of it because it wasn't there was a built-in, there still is a built-in ad blocker, and you can also decide, like, opt in to watch ads, and therefore, by watching ads, like, generate, I can't remember the name of the token, but some tokens get sent to you every month or something. And I think it's pretty worthless what you get, though. You're going to have ads pop up, like, 5 times a day on your computer, and at the end of the month, you're probably going to have, like, 10 cents, it wasn't really worth it watching the ads, I guess.
Yeah, but I think the idea is that you would
you can also
allocate those 10 cents to your favorite creators and then kind of create a like monetization network outside of YouTube, or like you watch YouTube and then in addition to your view that gets monetized via YouTube, you also get the tip allocation via BUT. But I think it's like kind of a chicken and egg problem where it's like you need to onboard the creators need to tell their people to like, here's the bad brother, and then you can like enable bad tipping for me. And it's like, I don't know, there was like a whole like host of issues, and also the actual ad implementation, like as it first started, it was fucking horrible. You'd get these like Windows notifications, and like it'd actually make the sound of like a notification. It would just be a Brave ad, and it was just like, what is this? So anyways, short tangent there. Like one of the things that I think is super exciting about Degen is tokenomics, and there's like inflation that's kind of built in. And like, let's take the comparison of YouTube, where it's like YouTube gets paid by advertisers who pay YouTube money in order to distribute their advertisements. In Degen, there's no counterparty that pays for advertisements, but rather inflation of the general token supply. So how like cognizant of all of these things were you when you designed the tokenomics of Degen?
No, yeah, I definitely thought about this a lot, like how much should go into the community pool. So I kind of looked at Blur and I looked at Uniswap, and I saw that more or less they have like 50 or 60% kind of distributed to the community. And then they have investors, they have a liquidity pool, they have all these kind of things. And I figured, you know, well, we're not as big as Blur. We're not as big as like, at least then, like I was thinking like, no way. So I was like, all right, well, let's give at least 70% of the token supply to the community. 15 should be a good amount for the liquidity pool. And 15%, I said, it's just going to be like the ecosystem. Initially, I said the team. But then like I was just like, well, maybe this thing will grow. And so that should be enough. So I was kind of thinking about all of these elements together, and I just compared it to other projects. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe we need a little bit more towards the ecosystem to kind of grow projects and maybe a team or something potentially in the future. But so, yeah, I was thinking about that. And so like even the first airdrop, it was 15% of the token supply. And like I was kind of thinking like, well, can we maybe create like basically a base for the token price? And I kind of thought, well, okay, I'll put in some of my money into the liquidity pool. And there's 15% of the tokens being dropped and 15% is in the liquidity pool. So, you know, if everybody basically claims the airdrop and if everybody sells, then it'll go to zero. And I just thought to myself, like, the chances of that happening are probably like almost like non-existent. Like Vitalik's not going to claim and like Dan's not going to claim and all these kind of people. So I kind of realized that and I was like, okay, so at least we're putting a floor on the price and that will kind of make like a more bullish atmosphere of like, well, you know what, we did the airdrop and it didn't go to zero. And actually people didn't end up selling at all, I don't think. I don't remember actually how it went, but it was pretty stable. So I was kind of surprised by that. And so I did think about all these kind of issues. And obviously now I kind of sometimes think of like, I'm almost like the Federal Reserve of DeGen in a way, like, you know, how much supply should we release? And, you know, is this going to like crash the price too much? And I think we have to scale back on distribution. So I think probably this month is probably one of the bigger airdrops we'll see, and then the tip allowances will go down. So I'm kind of curious what effect that will have, because some people have like a $3,000 equivalent tip allowance daily, but we want to keep the tipping going for as long as possible, so we have to scale it back. And so yeah, I am thinking about all these things, and there's also one person joining me as well.
So if I repeat this back to you, you've kind of looked at the global supply of Uniswap or Blur. But I think the very interesting thing here is how you've kind of, with these airdrops, created, like you've said it yourself, you're the Federal Reserve of the DeGen ecosystem. So with airdrop one, you've kind of like created the money. And now you're kind of the master of the money. You're like I think you've now split airdrop two into three different seasons. And season one is totally finished. Season two is still claiming. And then season three is currently ongoing. So if you tip somebody on Farcaster or Dracula with DeGen at the moment, that's going to be airdrop 2 season 3 claim that you can do. But the magic of this is I'm not tipping you with my own money, but rather I'm tipping you with inflation. So how cognizant are you? Like it's like uneven inflation. It's really interesting because like usually everyone in the system gets equally inflated. And in this system, it's kind of like you're only inflating those people who are like not good network participants or something like this. But it's like there's like such an interesting game theory and economic here. So maybe have you thought about this cognizant that much at all, or is it kind of like random happening?
So I haven't thought about the actual like tokenomics, the distribution, like how the supply and demand of the token is gonna let's say be impacted like very like in super detail. I you know, during Valentine's Day, we did the 1 million DeGen sort of like tip allowance for everybody. And so, yeah, that was a little bit hectic. I gave everybody 1 million DeGen, whoever had a top hat in their name. And then, of course, people were like, well, I added the top hat 1 hour after you posted or something, or somebody added one and they have the allowance, but I don't. Wake, which he's a big moderator on the DeGen channel, I think he called it the Valentine's Day Massacre, because all these bots and all these like people, they ended up farming the DeGen really hard. They were on it like immediately because they're in like Telegram groups. They're getting alerts. These farmers are very advanced. So they come from countries where like the amount of DeGen they get is potentially like a lot of money for them. So like that's like another dynamic. So anyway, Yeah, and so at that point, I realized, like, oh man, okay, I can't do this. We release way too much degen. And then, of course, even one confirmation, they kind of like nudged me a little bit. They're like, hey, you know, they did like a little calculation and comes out to like $15 million that you spent yesterday. You know, are you kind of, are you kind of like aware? You know, was that like the idea? And I was like, oh man, like I was just trying to like hype people up a little bit. So that's when I kind of realized like, okay, now it's a little bit more serious. There's like real kind of money at play. So we couldn't really reverse that, because that would also kill a lot of like faith and trust and things. I think I'm more conscious of everything, and we try to be, you know, do things in like a smoother way. And like, I think we're thinking about like the future of like how to taper things down, because after 4 years of the token being launched, we can mint 1% of the token supply every year. And that's something that Uniswap also has, like after 4 years of Uniswap existing. So I think this year, they can mint 2% of the token supply. And so we're thinking like, how can we bridge to the fourth year and kind of taper down? So we'll probably do, probably there'll be kind of like this diminishing kind of curve every month, I think. So yeah, we are conscious, but it's kind of new territory. There's not like a textbook we can probably read about this. Maybe if somebody was like an economist or something, they probably know a lot more about like how best to do this. But yeah, just doing the best we can, and that's about it.
Okay, so Valentine's Day showed you that you are Jerome Powell.
yeah, you gotta watch out for sure.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting.
So you touched on how there's farmers farming the token. From what I can tell, you're using Dune for a lot of your like allocation, calculation, and all this. And I was looking into some of the queries and saw that you have like one query where you hard-coded a bunch of forecaster IDs where you said, okay, these guys are not receiving any tips. And I think there's also another query where it's a more dynamic list based on heuristics. Like how do you determine those? How do you combat spam and how do you handle all this?
So definitely for the hard-coded ones, there's people that report to the moderators or to like key members of like the DGEN community, and they kind of come to me and they compile a list and we say, all right, these guys are probably bad actors. So that's kind of like the human moderation side. On like the more automated side, I am kind of thinking about like maybe we can use the forecaster badges. I was thinking like, can we do some machine learning or something like this on these casts? So I think maybe that's in the cards in the future. There is one query where it's very rule-based system. And in that system, you kind of have very simple logic. Like let's say, there's a lot of metrics that are kind of like well-known. For instance, like your followers to following ratio. Mm-hmm. If you're following a lot more people than are following you, then, you know, that's not a bullish sign. Also, we kind of look at like quote casts. If you're quote casting, like if most of the bulk of your cast is just quote casts, that's not a very bullish sign. It's not like original content. And so there's a lot of like these types of metrics that I'm trying to kind of build up and kind of feel like which ones are the right ones, which ones aren't, and kind of put like a boundary at some place and say like, okay, if you're following, you know, 5 times more people than are following you, then maybe this is kind of like engagement farming. Like you're just really trying to get people to follow you back. So it's not the best solution, because there's always the exception of somebody who, let's say, has artwork or they have a channel where they're doing news or something, so they're quote casting people all the time. Some people get caught up in this filter a little bit, and it's not the best, but maybe we can make it better in the future. Hopefully, I think with machine learning, that would be probably a better solution. I actually downloaded a research paper, an academic one, and that's actually where I got some of these different metrics. And they had a much better solution. They did it on Twitter, and they said they had like over 90% accuracy with kind of detecting spam. But I just don't have the time right now to implement all of the things that they did. So maybe Farcaster can do some more with the badges, and maybe we can just leverage their data. That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah. this actually, like, this kind of social network data always fascinates me in the sense that, like, it's basically a network graph, and you can apply that, like, graph analysis, like, by checking, just do like a page rank of all the nodes of all accounts, and then the hubs and authorities will be the one that's having the higher impact in the center of the nodes, and et cetera. And, like, I think, like, a lot of things can be interesting by just using existing graph algorithms already.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good one. I think I met somebody who was also kind of doing this a little bit, and I haven't really tried it, but yeah, definitely you kind of go, you start with the OGs who maybe were on Farcaster at the beginning, built up a following, and then kind of go down, like, who are they following? Who are those people following, and kind of build, like, okay, these are like the higher ranked people. It does, if you do it that way, it does become a little bit tougher for people just joining the network to gain like a tip allowance, gain like this sort of perspective. But at the same time, I think the cool thing about the tip allowances is that with like just the general tools you have on most social networks, which is just a like button, you can, or a follow button. So I think the follow button is very bullish. So if you like, if somebody follows you, that's a big account, you might get noticed, you might not, depends. If they like your content, not so much. But I think with the tipping, it's kind of interesting because we have a leaderboard. And so people go to check their points, but they also see the leaderboard right underneath. So I think this enables people to signal better, like maybe on unknown accounts and things like that, that, hey, you know, I'm a known person. I have a big tip allowance because I get a lot of reactions. But here's the people that we're signaling. And this is this month's leaderboard. And then those people can hopefully we can maybe leverage the social graph, but maybe in some point in the future, people can also leverage the degen tipping graph. That would be an interesting dynamic because I don't think that's been explored anywhere else.
Yeah. Have you used this before to discover new creators or something? Like, do you regularly go through the degen just leaderboard and find interesting content?
Initially I did. Yeah. And it, like the airdrop one. Yeah. I was looking at, that's how I found a lot of people. And I ended up following them. So the first airdrop, I definitely looked at the leaderboard. In the future airdrops, haven't had enough time to do it. That's really the only reason I haven't done it, but I do know some of the top players. So like, I know Cinnies is kind of like one of the top ones. I kind of saw Wake through the leaderboard. I know visually who they are. So when I see them on Farcast, I'm like, oh, okay, there's that guy. So it does help a little bit for me, but I just don't have the time recently to investigate everybody, which kind of sucks because it makes the experience, it makes it harder to develop because I'm not in it as much. So I want to get back to it, hopefully soonish. There's a lot of like paperwork and like random stuff that I don't want to do so much. But like, I have to kind of do this part now. Like we have like a law firm and like we have trying to set up like a business entity, like all this kind of stuff, which is not super interesting. And like, it's not front facing. And I appreciate it. Like I love to be in this position. Like this is like, I'm super grateful, but at the same time, it does distract me from actually building and doing other things. And so I'm trying to like learn how to balance all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's usually what like co-founders are usually like good at splitting these things up, and you doing this whole thing solo is like, it mustn't make it infinitely harder. But it's like none of you are like, you're only one person, so you got to deal with all the paperwork, all the legal stuff, all the organization. If you want to hire someone, you are the only one who can actually interview them. It's like, But it's actually interesting. So Degen seems to be kind of a community project. You're kind of a maestro. It's like you're just like taking inspiration from all of these different things. Where it's like you mentioned before, like, hey, I looked at Blur, I looked at Uniswap, and you've kind of like synthesized your own art from all the other different things. A thing that I've recently heard is like, as soon as you start copying from three different sources, you've created your own art. And I think that this is very much a perfect example of this, where you've like taken a little bit of everything, and now you're also kind of doing this with the community, where you are giving out grants or you're hosting bounties. So maybe like from your perspective, like how like is that an accurate description of your job? Like do you feel like a maestro?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. I definitely do feel like I've taken ideas from here, from there, and just kind of glued them together. So I definitely identify 100% with that idea. I don't think that, because maestro, it almost seems like somebody who's like very talented and like a genius, kind of like, wow, like Mozart maybe or somebody, you know. Like I think with DGen, it is a cool, like it's a very cool concept, and it just kind of clicked and things kind of work. It's simple and things are kind of going forward. But I don't think I would say that I'm a maestro in that kind of sense, because that's like a bigger kind of thing for me, I think. But in the sense of like gluing ideas together, putting them in together into this kind of like Legos, you know, clicking things together and making them work, I think it's kind of happening, and I'm just glad that it's working. So yeah, but even with like the L3 chain, this was not like something that I came up with, you know, from my own head. It was, there was this frame called Lotto PGF, and they were running a frame called Powerball. So Lotto PGF is like the group, and they had the frame called Powerball, and every day they had a lottery with DGen, and it was all 100% on chain. And so we spoke, they were at some conference, and they just kept telling me about the L3s, about L3s. And I was like, I don't know, like, I don't want to do this L3. And so they just kept coming back, like for half an hour, they just kept coming back. And so I was even a little bit annoyed, like, why is this, they're pushing this so hard. But then, you know, finally I was like, ah, okay, maybe, yeah, let me think about it. And basically they were having an issue where they were paying $300 every day on base to run this free frame. And so they said if it was on the L3, it would be much cheaper for them. So I was like, okay, that's cool. And so I started thinking about it a little bit more, and then it started growing on me, and I talked to them again. And so I think it's more the community that's almost like this maestro in a way, where there's some pretty good at, like, I think we're fortunate that we're on Farcaster, that there's such talented people. And then for me, it's just like, can I filter out some of these ideas in a decent enough way that we can get the good ones in there? And now it turns out it's been 2 weeks into it, and people are just like building just like a ton of projects. For the deploy on DGen week, I think we have like 300 applications that got submitted. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. So.
Yeah, I think we might have different definitions of the word maestro. You seem to be very good at like taking in ideas from different sources, synthesizing these ideas. Maestro for me is like somebody who's like at the front of the orchestra. One of the things that's like largely to your credit is launch a chain. It's not like, this is going to be in like 4 months. I mean, you found Syndicate, which is like that's like part of your orchestra, where it's like, they just did this in like 4 or like 2 or 3 weeks, I think. You said on the other podcast. So, it's really cool to see like all of these pieces clicking into each other. You're the guy who actually like takes the Lego bricks in the DGen project and actually puts them together, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I see that totally.
So maybe for DGen chain, you mentioned on other podcasts that you kind of think of it as Las Vegas, where you can take your money and you can bridge it to that chain. And then you might come home with a big bag, or you might come home with just memories. And I think this was like, two or three weeks ago. So maybe, what has happened on DGen chain this far? I think it's the highest chain by GPS at the moment, which is, of course, like, it's the same as saying Solana accounts are way more than Ethereum. I think you can't really compare the metrics, because a transaction on the DGen chain costs, I think it's a millionth of a cent or a billionth of a cent, depending on like how the base load, or like the load on base is at the moment. What are people doing on DGen chain? And like, you probably also don't really have the data. I tried looking at DGen scan, like all of this stuff, but like, I couldn't really find anything. So in your words, what is happening?
So I'm going to kind of look through like all these different dApps. There's some cool things there, and I don't really have like a lot off the top of my mind, but there's already like some like NFT places that you can kind of check things out. People building like different like Telegram bots. For sure, the first thing that kind of popped up were like the meme coins that were paired with Wrapped Degen. There's all sorts of like, there's a lot of people who have apps on other chains and they're just integrating Degen chain. But yeah, so it's kind of interesting what's happening. Of course, Powerball, they were the first people that kind of used it. So with the, for like the lotteries. And yeah, I was kind of thinking of it as like this Las Vegas, but I think every time I say Las Vegas, people focus so much on the gambling, and then there's the degen, the token name. So so it becomes too much about gambling, and that, I don't think that's what we want to do. Like, I mean, it's cool, like people should have lotto games and like all that kind of, we don't discourage like people to create, you know, like degen style games like that. But I think it's going to be maybe more like just like a fun place. I don't know. I kind of think of like Dogecoin a lot. And if Dogecoin had like their own app store, they had their own kind of like, and like chain that was kind of EVM compatible. Like if I could go to like a Dogecoin website and see what is the top Dogecoin app today, what is the top Dogecoin game today? I think I would do it probably fairly regularly just to kind of check it out just for fun. But they never kind of did that. And I kind of think with Degen, maybe we can do this where we have like, we feature the top apps, almost like an app store, and kind of make it like a fun place. And because the transactions are so cheap, I think it enables a different style of apps to be maybe even built. Maybe things that were previously kind of thought to be, you know, let's build this off chain. Maybe some people will bring it a little bit more on chain. I do like that the transaction fees are low. So hopefully we can just keep them very, very low for a while, and people can just keep building.
Degen chain is customized in a way where it can kind of interoperate with Farcaster, right? Can you talk about this, or should we interview the Syndicate guys about this?
Yeah, you should definitely ask Syndicate a little bit more about this. I mean, I know a little bit about precompiles just from like briefly reading about them. There was like a push to have like Farcaster native support at the blockchain level. I think there's a Farcaster GitHub smart contracts that you can kind of just, you know, deploy to your chain, and then you can sign transactions or sign messages or whatever you need to do. And it's so cheap right now on Degen chain that having it natively doesn't make a difference to dApp developers. So I think that was the decision Syndicate. They were like, let's just do it this way. And if it becomes an issue, then we can make this a precompile. But I think there is the cool aspect of we can do customizations at the chain level. So if somebody wants something at a native level, or there's some kind of feature that maybe Arbitrum Orbit they release and people really want it, then we can potentially add it on. But I think everything's fairly new in this roll-up space. So it's going to be interesting how all this kind of proceeds and how it goes. Yeah, we're definitely having some issues even with like bridging and bridging back. So this is like such a new space.
If you look at other L2s, it's well known that like some of the more popular L2s are generating a lot of revenue. I think Base is at currently generating around $1 million a day. Is Degen able to sustain its costs currently, or how does it work in terms of I guess flows of fun on Degen and cost in transaction, and does that offset anything?
So right now I don't think we've turned on any like fees or any like fee switches or anything like that. So right now we're basically paying Conduit, and we're paying Syndicate, and under the hood we're using Conduit as the roll-up as a service. So that's one of our biggest costs. But yeah, other than that, like we're just paying for it for now. We are thinking of like how can we potentially monetize this to have like a steady stream of revenue. There's a lot like other L3s are experimenting, so we're going to kind of look at them a little bit. And I think at FarCon, we're going to talk to a little bit with the Syndicate guys and try and figure out, you know, how can we maybe make some revenue but not push it too far, kind of keep like a good balance.
What's going to be the Las Vegas city tax? I mean, not to push you further into the Las Vegas also has beautiful hotels and shows, and there's not only gambling in Las Vegas to get you out of the gambling hole. if you could go back in time, is there anything that you regret? Something that you would change looking back?
I think the Valentine's Day, yeah, that was a little bit impulsive. So maybe I would have rolled that back a little bit. But at the same time, I'm glad I did it then, because maybe if I did it now, I would have spent a lot more of funds than I initially anticipated. So yeah, but I'm pretty happy with how things have gone so far.
Yeah, awesome to hear, I guess. I can only imagine that message from one confirmation. are you like a link to Dune Query? Like, are you aware of what you did yesterday?
Yeah, they for sure analyzed this all on Dune. And yeah, no, they were very polite. They were like, it was very like a very nice message. Actually, I really like one confirmation because they're very hands off in a way, but now they're a little bit more hands on, but like in a good way. Like they're almost like an extension of DGen in a sense. So I would say in terms of like VCs, I think we got very lucky with them. Cause like, yeah, even then they weren't like, what are you doing? Or something like that. It was just kind of like, you know, here are the numbers, like, you know, just want to make you aware. And so it was a little bit like they put me a little bit like in the hot seat, I felt like, but it probably made sense to do that at that time. And I think everybody was a little bit on edge because like this was like, you know, the liquidity token from Uniswap, it wasn't locked. A lot of people were still scared that I'm going to rug them. I think that has kind of gone away now.
Yeah, maybe as a final question, any early experiments that you're excited about?
Well, I am still excited about Frentech. I am curious what they're going to release in this week. I know a lot of people kind of like, you know, turned against them, but I still think they make some weird things like that. That's what I like. The racers just, he's not very like conventional. So I kind of like that. I'm kind of curious a little bit about Blur and the Blast Chain, what they're doing, but those things I think interest me a little bit less in general, I would say. I am a little bit curious more about like the Farcaster developers, like Dracula is very interesting. I don't know how that's going to pan out. There's bracket.game. I don't know. I think I'm just bullish on all these Farcaster people because I've kind of gotten to know them a little bit. And they all just seem like just very decent people. And so I think there's going to be some cool apps that come out of there. But yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It seems to be very humble and kind of like honest, serious builders who are like actually trying to innovate in technology and not, I don't know, by a yard as fast as possible. All right. With that, Denning, Dobby, any last words?
Thank you for coming on the show. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy to be here. And Hodobi, you're like a legend for me. You have to know this. You were like the number one person basically on Dune, I think, at some point. I forget. Or if you still are, I always saw your queries. And you definitely write much better queries than I do. Like the Fentech query. I wrote the dashboard, and then you wrote one like a day later. And so I immediately forked like half your queries into my dashboard. Because it's just like you figured out the bonding curve, which I didn't even realize. You know, I was just kind of doing price times whatever. And
it's the cool part of like Dune and crypto in general about how we're like building Legos with one another, and you know, it's like building blocks. Everyone's contribution matters, and it helps everyone, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that's what I love. That's what I loved about the music scene back in the day. It was just like this authentic feeling in it, and people are very talented, which is what I don't know. There's like a good vibe going on. Because later on, like when the scene gets oversaturated, you get kind of these people, okay, let's make a business. It becomes very mainstream. And I tend to lose focus then. I like when the scene is kind of like exciting still. So anyway.
I agree with all this.
Yeah, there's this famous meme of like early adopters. And then I think like, the more the mainstream comes into a scene, the less interesting it gets. And it seems like you found yourself the forefront in Farcaster. And now you've kind of launched your own forefront with having your own chain. So let's hope it stays at the forefront for quite a while so you don't get bored. We really appreciate you coming on. as I've already said in the podcast, like really, really impressed with just your like very humble execution of things. Like you're not like, ah, this is the roadmap and like we're gonna deliver X, Y, and Z. And it's like, no, you're just like, hey, like here's like a cast and we've just like launched a chain, whatever. And then you just keep building. And even in this podcast, you're like, I really like the kind of humble bull energy. So yeah, keep building, keep doing awesome stuff. We'll see each other hopefully at JuneCon. Other than that, you'll meet Andrew at FACON, I guess. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thanks for having me and see you guys at the next events.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Index podcast. We'll hear each other in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye. Crypto day wizards, come join us for the parade.